Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Previously on Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. I think Elise Perry adopted the Steve Waugh tactic of batting with the tail of I'll just take a single and good luck at the other end.
They could just sit in the centre of the pitch playing Uno or something.
And I kind of got the sense watching it that Lanning more or less bullied Mithali Raj into shaking hands. She
gave us a really good look at how the baggy greens work with the ponytails, and they don't work at all. In a week where England demanded stringent conditions be met so that they could tour with their best side, then still selected Dom Bess, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
So, look, I think everyone wants the Ashes to go ahead. It's hard for the England players to make the decision. I think there'll be some sort of Ashes. Maybe there's a couple of test matches in Sydney. Maybe there's a couple in Melbourne and one somewhere else, maybe Tasmania or something like that.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke, and that was Shane Warne.
Yes, Shane Warne is confident the Ashes will go ahead, so that's good news. He says that may not take place in Perth or Brisbane if they can't sort their things out.
No, did he sound disappointed?
I don't think so. I think he's more than happy to have an extra game in Victoria.
Yeah, and there might be one game in, I don't know, Tasmania. Is that part of Australia?
Yeah, more or less. I'm not sure they let many people in at the moment either, but everything's changing with vaccinations, England listeners, so don't panic. Yes. So it's all okay. Yeah. But I was just thinking, if there's going to be an extra match in Victoria, we've got a ground like literally less than 100 metres away from us. So I'm willing to throw that open for the Ashes, and we can just sit out on our balcony and watch
listen.
The play.
And we can listen to the appeal. We can hear a lot of the cricket, can't we, from our balcony. So that is a wonderful idea. I think you should pitch it.
Yep. Yeah. I'll get in touch with Cricket Australia straight away.
Yes.
And also wrote a piece earlier this week on the conditions that England did ask to have met before they'd agreed to the tour.
And that's right, because Joe Root put in a list of demands, didn't he? And he told you all about it.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And so some of those conditions are no Steve Smith or like-for-like Steve Smith replacements.
Fair enough. Steve Smith can carry the drinks.
Yep. He also wanted Tim Payne to make all the DRS decisions without any assistance from the more clearer thinking teammates that might be around to correct any obvious errors that Tim might be making.
Okay, so Dave Warner's allowed to help.
Dave Warner can help at any point, yes.
Okay.
It should also be a Cummins-free zone.
Uh-huh.
No swearing, can't be our first ball, puppies for all the players, all that kind of thing, all that kind of stuff. So
it's quite reasonable.
Yeah, so you can read about all the conditions that Joe told me about. You can go to theraw.com.au and you can probably track that article down by perhaps surprisingly searching in the expert section of that website.
Well, I mean, only experts get exclusive interviews with Joe Root, correct?
Yes.
I also love the bunch of gloomy English people in the comments saying we'd still lose 5-0.
So England are coming. They've confirmed their squad. No Ben Stokes, sadly, which to be serious for a second, I know that's really disappointing.
Yes.
Like last time he was over here in an Ashes tour, he was just a baby. He made his test debut in 2013-14. And he hasn't toured Australia in an Ashes series since, so it's very sad.
It'd be very disappointing. But Mark Wood's in the squad, so that's good to see.
So that's good. And, of course, Stuart Broad, the great comedian, he'll be back here presumably for one last time. So very much looking forward to that.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week. What?
So lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the T20 leg, the final leg of the Australia v India women's series. Australia were up 6-4 in the series with just the T20 leg remaining. They scraped home there in the tests, as we discussed last week. And so this would, the T20 series was going to be the first T20s these two teams have played since the World Cup final back in the before times.
BC, yeah. Before COVID.
Yes.
Yep.
And so kind of as a sign of how much things had changed since then, not one of these three matches would be attended by a single Katy Perry.
Huh. We had to make do with just the one Elise.
Yes. So let's go through the game. So in the first game, it was Shefali Verma, who I think played possibly my favourite T20 innings of all time. It was 18 runs off 14 balls, which doesn't sound that spectacular. Mm-hmm. Until you consider that those 18 runs were from 3 sixes. Every other ball was either a dot ball or a wicket. So it was a fantastic innings from Shefali Verma.
That was fantastic. It was sort of, she was kind of trying for it. She was going 6, not out, not out, not out, not out, not out, 6, not out, not out, 6, and out.
Yep.
Finally, she got the 6 and out she wanted.
I think she was trying to hit sixes on every other ball. She was just swinging wildly and missing. And she tried to hit 14 sixes off 14 balls. She got 3 and was then dismissed. It was a great innings, my favourite innings of the summer so far, I think.
Yeah, I think there'll be a callback to this later when we talk about my bets.
Yes, very possibly. Anyway, India just like motored along in that game. They motored along and they were losing wickets on a regular basis. It was thrilling stuff. It looked like they were going to be out for 200 in the 11th over or something at one stage, which would have been great. But then boring old rain came along.
Yeah.
Wet old Queensland struck again.
So T11, I mean, a T11's good thinking when there's all this rain about.
Yep.
And there's a permanent cloud over Wetracon Stadium, yes, or whatever you called it.
Yes.
It strikes again. Did they employ... what's his name from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Rob McKenna as the bus driver, the coach driver.
Very possibly, yes. In the second T20, India came out and tried to do pretty much the same thing, except this time they just lost all their wickets instead. They didn't score quite as quickly and just collapsed. They lost 3 wickets in the power play. Then they kind of forgot how to run between the wickets, and I think the highlight was Deepti Sharma and Pooja Vestrakar found themselves sprinting towards the non-striker's end to see who could get there first, while Alyssa Healy had the ball at the batter's end and was just holding it up, waiting to see which one she would run out. So that was very exciting.
Yeah. Do you think she was just they were both just standing there in their crease and she's just waiting there with the ball and they're daring each other to start running towards the other end?
Yeah, maybe. So the third umpire took several replays before they decided which of the two was run out. And it turned out that it was Pooja who managed to stay in, which was a good thing because she absolutely went the tonk in the final overs and got India up to a semi-decent score. Not a great score, but a semi-decent score.
Yeah.
9 for 118 off their 20 overs. And then you pretty much thought that Australia would run down that quite easily, except from the second ball of the innings, Shikhar Pandey bowled this magnificent ball that just cut back miles outside off stump, jagged back into Alyssa Healy and just clipped the top of the bales and she was out. It was one of those many balls of the century we see, you know, at least once a month. But
yeah,
it was
but all those other balls were BC.
Yes, that's true.
This is the first AC ball of the century, correct?
Yeah. Maybe.
There might have been one in the IPL as well, but we'll call it the first.
Yes. Anyway, it was a fantastic delivery and kind of signalled a start of some really brilliant Indian bowling, which almost had Australia in a lot of trouble at one point. Mm-hmm. And then Tali McGrath arrived at the crease and she sensibly saw the side home. So,
and she did so much batting, didn't she, in the series? She was incredible. But I really like how this game allowed you to tell some really bad puns on the on the names of the players. We had Grievous Bodily Harmanpreet,
yes,
and followed by the wound that was healied.
Yes.
After that.
Yes. I wasn't game to try and do those verbally, but I'm glad you were willing to have a shot at those.
Yep.
So Australia won that game, and with that they won the entire series. India couldn't win the series after that victory.
Yeah. So then we had game 3. The third was the dead rubber.
Yep.
And the highlight of this game was Meg Lanning.
Yes.
She basically heard castling over her own stumps with her bat. She doesn't do it very often, does she?
I don't think anybody does it very often. It was quite a remarkable way to be dismissed from Meg.
And look, usually, and we should take this into account. When this does happen, it's usually in junior cricket, and you often give them a second chance.
Yeah.
Because it's just too embarrassing.
That is pretty embarrassing. Well, she tried to get a second chance. She didn't go off straight away. She demanded a review. Yeah. Well, she stuck around long enough for a review. I don't think she was actually able to make the T sign, but she stuck around long enough that the umpire said, oh, I guess we better check and see what actually happened there, which is more embarrassing, if anything. It means everybody gets to see it in slow motion again.
Yeah, rather and she's than just... in total denial. I couldn't possibly have done that.
Yeah,
but she did make up for it by taking some really good catches. Mm. One, you know, leaping, running with the ball to dismiss Mandana for 52, and she was well in touch.
Yep.
And another sort of perfectly jumping, leaping catch again to take Harmanpreet Kaur. So she was good.
Yep, very good. Lanning's hands can dismiss anybody, including herself. So good to see. But apart from that, it was a bit of a dull game.
Yeah.
You weren't quite game after the, you know, all the other matches in the series to fully write India off, but they never really seemed to be likely to win this one. So somehow, despite going toe-to-toe with Australia for the entire series, India finished it winning only one game, which doesn't really seem fair.
No, it doesn't really. But they certainly dominated more of the series than that would suggest.
Yes, well, they dominated the test. They were well on top for most of the test and basically held their own in the T20s and the ODIs.
And gloriously, a lot of the Indian players are now sticking around for the WBBL, which starts next week.
Yes. And I have a theory that if Australia should very much enjoy this current champion side and the reign of, you know, victories that they're establishing at the moment, because I have a feeling that once India establish a women's IPL, they're just going to, you know, get a bit more professionalism, get a bit more calmness under pressure, because that's basically what cost them some of those games. They panicked in the field. They did some wild throws. As soon as they get a bit more calm under pressure, they're just going to crush everybody. Like, they've got the talent. So
that's right.
It's
they'll have this amazing depth in their women's IPL.
Yeah. So enjoy this while you can, Australia.
It's not going to last. And who won the Raj Perry Beret at the end of that series?
The Raj Perry Beret for the player of the series went to Talia McGrath.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
This season we've been asking people to support us by giving us their very honest 5-star ratings on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast store of choice. And so we've come up with this very, very good review format that people can use. What's the format, Dan?
It's basically Can't Bowl, Can't Throw is the most blank cricket podcast of them all. Cat and Dan's devotion to blank is what keeps me coming back each week. And we did get a review in this format.
Improbably it was from Scott Muller himself. Is this a real review?
Shoot. Well, he's got the Scott Muller's real test figures in there. His name's Scott Muller, 7 for 258, so it must be the real one.
Well, no one else would know those figures, would they? How would they find them out?
Impossible.
I think that's validated. That's like one of those numbers that you're two-factor authentication. Yeah. Yeah. Scott Muller is 7 for 258.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So what Scott has said... Can't Bowl, Can't Throw is the most diced celery with cream cheese cricket podcast of them all. Cat and Dan's devotion to obscure left wrist spinners is what keeps me coming back each week.
Yeah, so I was trying to interpret what he meant by this, and I think I've got it. I think the diced celery with cream cheese means that we're like a cricket podcast hors d'oeuvre. We're just a taster before you move on to the weightier cricket podcast.
The ones that go for 2.5 hours.
Exactly. and of course, the left arm wrist spinner is Michael Bevan, who we finished our previous season with.
Of course, that's true. I thought it might have been more that diced celery and cream cheese is his favourite food. Will we assume that?
Yeah, it can be both things.
Yeah, and instead of wrist spinners, it should have been salad spinners. That would have made that. I don't want to improve upon your iTunes review. It was almost perfect as it was, Scott Muller. So please add your own recipes into iTunes or wherever, because this is making me quite hungry, and we may read them out in a future episode.
I was approached by a man who I later discovered to be a bookmaker from India. I was fined $10,000 and paid my fine immediately. I realise and accept fully that my actions were naive and stupid. I realise that I was very naive and stupid and stupid and stupid.
So here we are in Cat's Gambling Corner. Thanks again to Shane Warne. He's featured quite a lot on this episode. That was Shane Warne, Mark Waugh, and of course Kenny Rogers.
Well, I was approached by a man who I later realised to be. No, I wasn't. I just put in some online.
Some online bets. He didn't approach any men at all.
I wasn't approached by any men either. It's been some time. Anyway, I have been keeping track of my bets, and as I mentioned before, I have something in common with Shefali Verma.
Yeah.
Which bets came through of my multi-leg bet, Dan. What do you think? How many do you think I got out of the nine legs?
So out of the nine legs, I think you probably got three sixes, did you? Three wins?
I got three.
Three, yeah. There you go.
Three out of nine.
There you go. So it was a multi-leg bet. You had to get several bowlers had to get more than 20 wickets. Several batters had to get more than 500 runs. Yep. And that was pretty much it, wasn't it?
And then KKR or Raiders and Royals to finish bottom of the ladder. And,
none of these things happened.
Yeah, that's right. The Royals finished second bottom because, of course, the Sunrisers were the supreme beings there at the bottom of the ladder. They were spectacularly good at it.
Yep.
And they continued that throughout the season. Over 500 runs. Well, we had a couple. Rahul did okay. He's top of the table, 626 runs for the season. This is pre-semifinals, pre-qualified. Kohli only got 366.
Come on, Kohli.
Poor work. Shikhar Dhawan, fantastic, 551, and Yadav, 317, came 17th.
Yep.
So he really
And what bowlers did you get?
Well, again, we had one bowler doing okay, Bumrah. 21 wickets for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get over 20, and Bolt and Rabada got 13 each.
Sounds like you should stick more with the India players rather than any of these overseas imports.
That's right. Well, this was an off-the-shelf bet, of course. I didn't actually select this. I haven't got that much thought into it. And Rashid Khan got 18
out of
that. So anyway, when I was looking at that was disappointing. Three out of nine, but it did give us lots of enjoyment along the way for a $5 or $10 bet or whatever.
I think it also gave us three segments in this podcast.
So it did quite well. I was on the looking at the season stats on the IPL website, and I went and I was struck by there's this section there called polls.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I think I'll go and have a look at the polls. But I shouldn't have gone to have a look at the polls because polls were of the fans of the IPL website. So you know what the answer was to it.
Yep, Virat Kohli.
Poll, yeah. So catch of the season.
Virat Kohli.
Emerging player award.
Virat Kohli.
It wasn't quite that bad, but I quickly went off that website. But I did have a secondary bet that he's doing okay, but it's not resulted yet, right?
No. So your secondary bet was Glenn Maxwell to score the most runs for RCB. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and that bet is still alive, and I think he's going to do it.
So carried over from the preliminary rounds into however many semi-finals RCB end up playing.
Right.
Yes.
So let's hope they can he can stay. He's 100 runs ahead of Padikkal, who's the nearest, and Kohli's behind that. So I think we should be fine with this Maxwell.
And I think there's a maximum of three games left that RCB can play. So as long as he gets one decent innings out of those three, then I think you're probably safe.
Yeah, I hope so.
Anyway, so what happened in the semi-finals? So we've got the Delhi Capitals, Chennai Super Kings, Royal Challengers Bangalore and Kolkata Knight Riders are all playing. At the time of recording, one game has been played?
That's right. Dhoni has managed to come good in the qualifier. Good on him. He's had a lot of criticism, but he did hit 18 off 6 to win it with two balls to spare and beat the Capitals.
Yep.
So poor old Rishabh Pant.
Mm.
And I think Dhoni's the oldest captain in the world and Pant's the youngest captain in the world. That's not quite right. But
IPL is the world cat. Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award. Well, this is actually the Scott Muller Award, not the Scott Moeller Award. Yeah.
I don't think Scott Muller, 7 for 256, whatever the scores. See, I've forgotten my two-factor authentication already. Anyway, lots of mentions of Scott Muller in this podcast.
Yep, Scott Muller and Shane Warne. Weird, isn't it? So we just need a little bit of Joe the Cameraman. Maybe it was Joe the Cameraman in the interview at the very top of the podcast.
Could have been.
Well, he didn't identify himself in any way, so I'm assuming it was Joe in retrospect.
I'm pretty sure. Shane Warne's just texted me and told me it was Joe the Cameraman. It wasn't him.
So you have been approached by a man.
I have now. I have now. Thank goodness for that. I've been waiting all podcast.
Yep.
So this is our award for the most absurd thing that happened in cricket over the past week. Mm-hmm. And who have you got to nominate this week, Dan?
During the second T20, Australia v India, there was a school formal that was being held at Metricon Stadium. They cut away to the crowd and there were all these, 17 and 18-year-olds just filing on in to do whatever you do at a Metricon Stadium-based school formals.
I missed this. So were they wearing tuxedos? Yeah, they were all dressed up.
Yeah, they really? Were there. They were ready to party. So I thought it was good. I wish my school formal had been held at a cricket match. I probably would have actually enjoyed it, and instead of, you know, hanging around being afraid of all the girls.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, relatively cheap drinks.
Yeah.
Ability to social distance is good. Free DJ playing 80s music.
Yeah, and a cricket game.
I think actually it's quite a good idea. And there's been so many formals cancelled. I mean, if your formal gets rescheduled to the night when the cricket's on, you don't want to cancel it again. You just go for it.
Yeah, I'd like to see schoolies held during the GABA test.
Yeah, that's probably happened before. Oh. Excellent. And I hope that Metricon Stadium's been marketing this. You know, come and have your school formal.
Well, they could have multiple school formals. There could be one in every bay.
Yeah. Oh, great idea. Anyway, we'll workshop this later and that'll be our advertising for next time. Now, we had Sam Curran ruled out of the T20 World Cup. I'm not sure on what grounds, but who cares? And he was replaced by Tom Curran.
Yep.
And I think you had a theory about this. It's nice when you're replaced by your brother, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. If you're going to be replaced by anybody, you should be replaced by your brother. And I think this should apply to all cricketers at the World Cup from now on. So all replacement for World Cups should be a sibling of the outgoing player.
Yep.
So, and I mostly just want this because I just want to see Brandon Stark one day jump over a South African batter.
I
think that'd be great. He'd just Fosbury flop over the top of them.
Yeah, and that'd probably be the only thing he does in a cricket game, right?
That's fine.
Yeah.
He'd be good on those outfield catches. He could leap higher than anybody. You just got to leap backwards, get them, and just fling it back in before he crashes and probably breaks his neck because he doesn't have any padding to land on.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, I can't tell the difference between Sam Curran and Tom Curran anyway.
No one can.
They look the same. Yeah. So who knows?
Maybe there's only one of them.
There could be.
Next nomination is the Big Bash League. The Big Bash has come up with a new rule. They're introducing a new timed out rule. So now if you're too slow to the crease, you have to stand aside and let the bowler bowl at a set of unguarded stumps. And if the bowler hits the stumps, you're out. So I think this is great. And what made it even better is that Crick Info went away and they wrote a piece on this rule. And
a whole piece.
And guess what image they used to celebrate this rule?
Well, it'd have to be someone just standing back and letting the ball hit the stumps, wouldn't it?
Yes, and so they used Glenn Maxwell's infamous leave in the Big Bash to highlight it. And Glenn Maxwell saw this.
He wasn't happy.
He quote tweeted it with a gif of Jim Carrey from Liar Liar shouting,
yeah, fair enough. And I think the songs that would be playing while this little segment's going, would it be just be the loudspeakers blaring out the Lazy Song or something like that?
Yeah, something. Yeah. Some like Baby Elephant Walk or something.
That sounds good too. Yeah. I think there's more options for this. I think if you're timed out, depending on how long it takes you to get out to the crease, you should lose pieces of protective equipment.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually if you take long enough, you've still got to stand there naked in front of the stumps. Or possibly you could be wearing clothes, but, you know, no pads, no bat, no box, no helmet, no nothing. And then they can all, you know, the bowler can have a free go at you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's only a matter of time before the BBL implements that idea because it did occur to me that just last week we proposed that this was Tim Payne's exact plan if England didn't come over for the Ashes. Yep. We said that they could just bowl at a set of unguarded stumps and that would be it. So I can only assume that the BBL are regular listeners to our podcast and stole this idea of us, and we didn't get a single cent of compensation for any of it, to which I say...
Put that through all of our podcasts. Now,
no.
I think there have been plenty of other suggestions that we've made throughout this podcast. So we'll look forward to these coming to light in the next week or so.
Yeah.
So the next nomination for the Muller is a mini jail time.
Yes, it is.
Detention
time.
Detention time. Yeah. We don't have the jail clip, do we? So, but you can just imagine our wonderful jail time clip. And it was for Marnus.
Yes.
Marnus playing in the Sheffield Shield. He did a bit of a celeb appeal when he really shouldn't have. When the umpire had not yet put the finger up.
Yep.
It was Queensland versus Tasmania, and Cricket Australia posted the clip on Twitter. And then we had some cricketers chime in, didn't we, in the comments. And Dave Warner replied to it and says, wow, I can't believe at -3 cricket would do that.
And by the way, that's a terrible handle for Marnus. Get Marnus Labuschagne, Marnus. Come on.
Do you reckon Lannis Labuschagne's already taken?
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's too long. Isn't there like a limit on the length of your
handle? Yeah, it's possible. Anyway, so who replied to Warner?
Well, so Warner's tweeted, as you said, "Wow, I can't believe Marnus would do that." And then Tim Payne replied with, "We know who won't be impressed with that bull, dot, dot, dot."
Yeah. So yes, if you go back to the start of this nomination and you work out who wouldn't be impressed, do you think everyone knows who wouldn't be impressed?
I think everybody does know. I very much like the fact that there's no DMs about this. This is all out in public just because they know that Justin Langer has zero understanding of how Twitter works and that he will never see this conversation.
Now, I'm presuming there were DMs from the rest of the team.
Yeah, maybe.
And they were just too sweary to put out in public. So good on Dave Warner and Tim Payne for going public there and giving us all a little bit of amusement and a Muller nomination.
Yes. And I think we've got a final Muller nomination. You've got one?
Yes. I was going into looking at all of the different IPL cricketers when I was...
Because you were checking your bet.
Checking the results of the IPL to make sure that Maxwell and RCB were going to be in the finals. Mm-hmm. And of course they are. But anyway, I went in, had a look and to see what the averages were. And I noticed that AB de Villiers was listed there with a very strange nickname. What do you think his nickname would have been?
Well, AB is his nickname, isn't it? AB?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's de Villiers, apparently, on the Crick Buzz app.
So his nickname is just his surname.
Yeah, that's right. So I went frantically searching to see if I could find another one. Virat Kohli's nickname?
Virat?
It's Kohli.
Right.
Devdutt Padikkal's nickname?
Padikkal.
He's Padikkal. Srikar Bharat's nickname, the keeper?
Bharat?
No, it's Srikar Bharat. Like, sometimes the nickname is the full name.
Oh, good.
So I think we're nominating Crick Buzz here for just a totally stupid algorithm for their nicknames. I mean, you could do an automatic first syllable of the first name, last syllable of the second name.
Yeah.
You could do a mashup there, and that would be a much better algorithm to put there instead of Glenn Maxwell's nickname.
Glenn Maxwell?
I mean, Glenn Maxwell's got plenty of nicknames, some that he likes and some that he doesn't. But most people would agree that at least Maxie is probably one of them. Anyway, his nickname is now Maxwell. George Garton's nickname?
George.
George Garton. Chris Gayle's nickname.
Well, Chris Gayle is like the universe boss, allegedly. I think that's a nickname he gave himself. So I'm all with Crick Buzz for not letting that nickname go.
Yeah, I guess so. He might be suing them, but because his nickname is now just Gayle.
Yeah. There you go. So
Who's going to win this time? I think it's my choice, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is your choice. There's a lot of great nominations in there.
There is a lot. I'm not sure I can choose. I think I have to give it to the BBL for introducing the timed out rule. I do love that. That's fantastic.
For stealing our idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, congratulations to the BBL with their new ridiculous timed out rule, and we look forward to seeing what rule you take from us next week. And that's the end of our show. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter, and you've also been listening to Kat Jones, and she is at Cricket Bat Cat. And you can follow us on Twitter individually via those two handles, or you can follow like the combined entity, which is Can't Bowl Can't Throw. That's at Can't Bowl Throw, or you can like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And we will see you all next week.
See you later.